all states have to recognize.
Put it on there.
That case.
Okay.
That's right. If it reverses that, if it overrules it, states still have to. But now, this act is probably unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. It's just the United States government, the federal government, has no authority to regulate matters. It's purely under what? The Commerce Clause? They have no authority. They have no authority to do that. But there's no standards. You mean standing? Every state has standing.
No, the federal government
does what? No, you don't need standing to pass an act of Congress.
I never
you only need standing in federal. You only need standing in court to challenge something.
No, that's not federal law.
Retain sovereignty.
They didn't have it.
The states always had sovereignty.
It's like a leftover plate.
Like, all right.
So
they
can't
take it
away. The
Constitution
didn't take away.
Right.
No.
So how can the government have channel law?
Under the Commerce Clause.
Commerce Clause.
Interstate commerce. That's what it's passed on. The authority. They use the Interstate Commerce Clause.
Okay. Let me grab this.
Anyway, this crossed the line for me.
I see this recording.
Heavy sugar everywhere.
We put new batteries in yesterday.
Yeah.
It's possibly the only bad thing that I've heard.
As you go out, I'll say, we'd like to thank everyone for coming. In particular, today's share is sponsored by Rabbi Mrs. Moshe Berger, as well as our dear attendee, Yerachmiel Berger, on the 25th yahrzeit of Rabbi Berger's mother, Miriam Bas Shmuel, Shalom, Shalom Shavuot.
You're probably right today.
But, okay, and Baruch Hashem, we're here at the doorstep of Hanukkah. And actually, the doorstep is quite important for Hanukkah. In Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is to light outside Hanukkah. Last week's share, we touched on how in America, the minhag is not to do that. There was differentiating opinions, what Rabbi Yoshev held about in America, what they should do. But either way, we're here at Hanukkah. The mood of Hanukkah is quite alive in the room. Besides the perfect sufganiyot here for to experience the day, which there's no isser in having sufganiyot at Erev Hanukkah. It's only matzah, Erev Pesach, or before. We also have latkes, which I was asked to thank the Rebbetzin, so I will. But
they're delicious.
Okay, Harvey adds they're delicious too.
And I've made reservations for next year already.
Oh boy, okay, that's a lesson.
Performance.
So,
I have no reservations about these latkes.
Lamaisa, you know, I think what better way to prepare for Hanukkah besides adding the calories of the donuts, the latkes, the works for breakfast yet, but also to do shirim and to learn about the halachas of Hanukkah. And I decided this year, I actually made a note last year that I wanted to cover this topic. Because I think it's a hard topic to understand. It's an important topic. Today's share is entitled The Shul Menorah, Its Lighting and Its Laws. And it's interesting. You know, for the most part, you know, there are some halachas which you learn about in yeshiva, in shul, by the rav, you learn the basic halachas. But we know there's a concept, Eino Dome Shimusho Yosef, that Gadol Shimusho Yosef Miludo. It's greater to see someone doing something in action more than just learning about it. So really the best way to learn any halacha is to see halacha in action by someone who's a bar halacha, someone who's able to, someone who's quite knowledgeable in halacha. When you see the way they are able to perform mitzvos, you get a lot of time to learn things from that. Now, I guess if we were all Hasidish and we went, it's a very big minhag by Hasidim to go to and watch the Rebbe light. And talk for Hasidim, we watched our Rebbe light, so you'd see how he does it, what he does, how exactly he lights, like next to brachas, what does he do afterwards, right? He davens, he looks at the neiros. I don't know, I've seen some funny things, some people play musical instruments, there's a lot of interesting things you could see.
Yes, it's tons.
But I would say the most looked at Hanukkah menorah experience that most of us have is watching the guy in shul do it. And seeing in shul someone get up there and light menorah, that for us is the picture besides what we do in our own homes. But that's the picture of what light menorah is. And that carries a big burden. I tell you, I remember in yeshiva, the way that our yeshiva was noeg here in America was we did not light menorah, we did not have a break in the middle of our siddurim on Hanukkah. Rather, the halakas neiros for both the bachrim and the kolol people would be after Seder. Seder would end for bachrim at 6:30, for married people at 7:15, 7:30. And only then would people go home, would people go downstairs in yeshiva and light menorah. And the reasoning behind this, in yeshiva's minhag, is basically because nowadays we don't light necessarily for the people in the street. We light mainly for the people, quote unquote, inside the house. And there's a certain mitzvah Torah, if you're in the middle of learning, to stop and do a whole hadlaka. So they would push it off to after Seder, right? You're familiar, you can testify. So I remember when I was a bachur in yeshiva, what the yeshiva did do, though, was they had one person light at the right time. And they made a clap on the bima. Everybody stopped what they were doing. Person got up. Yeshiva's on stage. Made the brachos, lit the menorah up, and then you go right back. V'yeshlomar, Sotosis answers. Well, it's right in the middle, in between the lines of the Gemara, in between the lines of Sotosis, we light a menorah. But everyone paid good attention to that guy lighting the menorah. So I remember, as a bachur, okay, you watch the guys, it was actually Valley California, Dallas, lit the menorah, Shmuel Wasser, from St. Louis, and then came a point in time, they asked me to be the one to light the menorah.
That is a major perk.
Yes, it is a major perk, a big deal. I'm standing up there by me, it was already in the new building, Kew Garden Hills, Anahara, 400 or 500 people there. I have to get up there each night. Okay, make sure everything's set up well, where you put the menorah, we'll talk about that. Brachos. So I'll tell you, what was the thing I was most nervous of? Definitely after the first time I did it. The first night, you get up there, you have to make brachos, right? So okay, I'm not a chazen, I'm down for the Amud. So I know how to do basic notes. Make the next bracha. Thunderous Omein, 400 people, 500 people. Shas and Yisim Lavo say no, Bayamim, Oein, Bahazman, Hazer. And then, I did a Shachianu. Shachianu Giman Vigyanu. Then I realized, Shachianu Giman Vigyanu Lazman Hazer, that does not fit into the classic Nusson. Shachianu Vigimanu Vigyanu Lazman Hazer. It doesn't exactly fit. So that was got me nervous the first time, lighting, but you can't fix it the next night. But it's actually, that was one of the first halachas. If you make the Shechiyanu in Shul, can you go back home, which I was going to like to later, and also make a Shechiyanu?
What do you want to marry him to do?
So that is one of the quirky halachas that come up with lighting menorah. So we're going to go through, hopefully. Huh? I'll explain the difference, but the basic idea, the difference between Shechiyanu and the other brachos, is the other brachos are clearly on the menorah, on lighting the menorah. Shechiyanu, it might be on the menorah also, but it's really on the day. Shechiyanu v'kimonu v'gilonu l'zman hazeh. So I already marked the day. I did it. So what do we do now?
Can't do it again.
So we'll get to that discussion. I will go through, hopefully, many halachas about the lighting of menorah in the shul. But what I want to focus on today, to start with, is the bigger picture. What is the mitzvah of lighting in the shul? What's the significance of it? Why do we do it? Then we'll go through all the practical things, where we put the menorah, brachos, and lots of stuff. Yes?
Bracha-wise, are there any equivalents to a shul where maybe they make Kiddush on Yom Tov in shul?
Excellent point. The true Gabbai. I'll get to that. Now, the first question, I guess, we would ask. So, again, we're spending a lot of time, right? And I do think people focus on the person lighting the shul menorah. Okay, we'll talk about when you light that menorah, how many times you light that menorah. But what I want to focus on, to begin with, just a simple question. Why do we do it? What is the basis of lighting a menorah in shul? Now, okay, I know the two words you might say, but it's not so simple. Lighting menorah itself, I guess that's two syllables, huh? So, lighting menorah itself, we know, is a din derabanan. It's a mitzvah derabanan. There's a mitzvah derabanan to light Chanukah menorah. Is it a mitzvah derabanan to light menorah in shul? Is there a mitzvah to light menorah in shul? And the answer is no. Surprisingly, there is not the mitzvah the Chazal or Misakin to celebrate, to mark the Yontif of Chanukah, is to light in your house near Ish Ubeisa. There's a lot of discussion. We've talked about it over the years. Right? It might be more a responsibility on the house than it is on any individual. That is, in fact, the reason why in the Sephardic communities, we go after the Mechaber, the only person who lights a menorah in a house is the father. The rest of the people in the house do not light. So, in the Sephardic community, by us, by Ashkenazim, we do. You know, but that means the nature of the mitzvah was misakein, was made for households. Hash b'shad, a shul is not a household. So if a shul is not a household, so what's the basis for lighting menorah in shul? You think about it. Also, now that I'm challenging it, right? In shul, you usually don't have the small, little menorahs. Shuls, many times, go all out. They have these big, huge menorahs. Each year you see some other company comes up with a chop. Oh, we have the big shul menorah. You want to spend a few $1,000 to get something like that. Okay, first you have to know what exactly are you, we're fundraising for that menorah. Do you know the basis of that? There's no chiv derabanan to light menorah and shul. The answer is, it's a minhag. Minhag. Obviously it's a minhag that we do. Brought down the halacha. But the nature of that lighting is a minhag. What's the basis of the minhag? Also up for debate. Not so clear. What would you think? What is the basis of the minhag to light Chanukah menorah? The mitzvah is to light in your house. Shul is not your house. A beis medrash is not your house. So why are you lighting? What's this minhag to light?
So
for comparison to Kiddush, where you have guests who are staying in the shul, you would have to be able to say that.
Okay, so that's one idea, right? One idea that's being suggested is similarly that in some places, right? I think they cut it out in certain local shul on Friday night, right?
Yes.
In some shuls, they make Kiddush, they make Havdalah, communal things, and yeah, too, for the people that that need it. They'll make a Kiddush in shul, they'll make Havdalah in shul. So you're saying similarly, okay, perhaps. Some people do say that. What other reasons would you think? Yes?
Just publicizing the miracle.
Oh, beautiful. Pursuing Nisa, publicizing the miracle. Now, so if the minhag is to publicize the miracle in shul, so what about, this is the first case that just popped in my mind. I know of two major malls now in America that are owned by, actually, from Jews. Right? They both happen to be in New Jersey. One's a place, American Dream. There's another place that opened in Salem. I think more owned by Jews. So, Eretz Yisrael, you have a lot of malls owned by Jews. You put up a menorah in the mall?
Yeah,
do you light it over there?
Next tree. Sunday Night Football did it this year.
They're laughing about the tree. Someone sent me these comments. So, Josh, I preface this joke by saying I think it's more sad than funny. But they have a joke where someone's power blows, one of his outlets blowing. He only has one outlet. So you see there's a bush attached to a plug and a menorah attached to a plug. And the guy's on the phone with Rabbi Sally, which one should I do? Hey, if I only have one plug.
Rabbi Sally, some female lesbian.
Right? Rabbi. It's unfortunately, more sad than funny, but that is the state. I'll never forget it. I've told a story before, but I think it's such a powerful story. There was one year in Hanukkah that the yeshiva decided for Kira, for Avodas Torah. You know, it's during the rest of the year. How do you know if someone's Jewish? So you technically, right, you see someone at the Kosel, you know, are you Jewish? You have people working on college campuses, right, Josh? Asking, hey, are you Jewish? Okay. You know, that's not a perfect science to find out if a person's Jewish. The best time of year to notice if a person's Jewish is do they have a menorah up in their window? And there was one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva was opening a Kiruv organization in Long Island, Hicksville, Long Island, to be exact. And the yeshiva decided one night of Hanukkah to send the whole yeshiva out to go to Hicksville, Long Island. Go, well, I don't know if Dafka Hicksville, but multiple spots way out down the LIE, and to basically make a chart, go house to house to see where you see the menorahs. Actually, that worked out. And the thing was to put, you know, something for JEP, Jewish Education Program, have the kids, even in public school or whatever, send their kids to yeshiva. This is mom's tremendous foresight of the yeshiva. Years later, my chavrusa, my friend, is actually running a kiruv outlet. He's lived out there, you know, in Long Island for years doing kiruv, and all result of this original fact-finding mission that was sent. But to me, as a kid who grew up in Brooklyn, one of the most like eye-opening moments is when I saw the population density of a block. And I saw there were more Jews in block and way out there in Long Island than in my block back in Brooklyn. That's how populous it was of Jewish people. Unfortunately, some of them were already menorahs with trees. But unfortunately, no, that's the state of America. But yes, Yontif of Hanukkah, well said before, is Persume Nisa. And we'll talk, even if there's not a minog, and we'll see, maybe not make a bracha if you put a menorah up in a mall or menorah up in a stadium or other places.
Buildings in the lobby. There.
Yeah, it may not be a minog, a mitzvah, make a bracha, but there probably is something to that, to spread Yiddishkeit. And it's important, especially this time of year when the other you know, religions are more active. The Jew has to know he's a Jew. Yes.
I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, if I am, Tony, but if it is purely a minhag to light in shul, why would we say a bracha? Wouldn't it be a bracha?
Excellent. So that's exactly where I'm up to. Being the fact we just set up now that the basis of lighting menorah in shul is only a minhag, so why is it that we make those brachas? Where else in halacha does one find that you make a bracha on a minhag? Right? Normally, do we make brachas on minhagim? We make brachas on mitzvahs. Even the whole concept to make a bracha on a mitzvah derabbanan is questionable. A deraisa, we understand that derabbanan, why are you making a bracha mitzvah derabbanan? So there, actually, the Gemara in Shabbos by Hanukkah says that a derabbanan, you also make a bracha. You could say vitzivanu, because the rabbis teach this is how to upkeep the Torah, is by marking the yontif of Hanukkah. So you couldn't make one on a derabbanan. But a minhag, if lighting in shul is just a minhag, so why is it do we make a bracha? So it's a very strong question. Yes.
It kind of goes back to what you initially started with, possibly, which was that to teach people to do it the right way. So if they're going to see what to do at home, they need to see that. You have to
interesting. Right? The argument put forth was, look, a chinuch idea. We want people to see the best way to do things. So we do things with a bracha. That would work if you're 12. Mm-hmm. Right? There is a concept of chinuch. We make brachas on the chinuch to know the right thing. But once you become bar mitzvah, right, mitzvah's chinuch is over. And although I was talking about we're constantly learning, but the mitzvah chinuch doesn't apply anymore in that sense. Wouldn't make a bracha just for chinuch. So how do we understand it?
It wouldn't apply even for a tinoch nishba.
No. So how do we understand? So the Chafetz Chaim asks this question in the Mishnah Berurah. It says, Tav Reish Ayin Aleph Siv Katan Mem Dalet. The Ramah writes, the Mechaber writes, very important to mention this, the Mechaber. He writes, Beis Knesses Manichim Mekol Sedara, I'm reading the first Mar Makom. In a shul, you put it on the southern wall. Okay, we'll skip the Ramah for a moment. We light and we make a bracha in a shul, and he uses those words, the two words, right? So the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim explains in Mem Dalet, lighting in a shul is only a minhag. Therefore, bothered by our question, so why is it you make a bracha? He says, we make a bracha on that, just like we make a bracha on halal of Rosh Chodesh. Halal on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. When they say half halal, it's a minhag on Rosh Chodesh to say halal. Yet, we make a bracha. So Zakta Chavetz Chaim, and this is really based on the tshuva of the Rivash. That's why we make a bracha on a minhag of Laya Chanukah Menorah and Shul. Yes.
Even more so, those who have the minhag to say Hallel after Maariv on the first two nights of Pesach.
Okay, we can talk about that.
Right?
That's a good idea.
During COVID, it became more well known that you can't do it by yourself. It has to be with the
minhag. Yeah, good point. Okay, the Hallel of Pesach at night. It's a whole complicated own sugya, but yes, a very good point. But I noticed, perhaps in our home audience, but in our live audience, I do not see any Sfardim in the room. In yeshiva, we run concurrent minyanim. We have regular minyan, we have a Sfardim minyan. So people here can notice. Did anyone notice that the Sfardim always finish before us on Rosh Chodesh? Do you know why?
One bracha.
Because they don't say a bracha on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh.
Really?
Right? That's why they finished before us. Svaradim do not say a bracha on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. They do not.
8 seconds.
Huh?
8 seconds.
That's why I said they finished before us. Rabbi Dreyfus is keeping taunting.
Do they work to fill in?
Right? They do. Okay. Yes.
All
right. Right? Sometimes two pairs. No. But but Svaradim do not make a bracha of on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. You want to know why? Guess why? Because it's only a minhag. So I saw many people ask a very strong question. So how do you understand over here that the Mechaber himself says, when it comes to Chanukah, we make a bracha on Hallel, excuse me, on lighting in Shul. If you don't make a bracha on a minhag, and that's why the Mechaber says you don't make a bracha on Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, so why is this minhag different? Why is this minhag different?
How come the bracha that they're saying on Hallel during Rosh Chodesh, which pulls out on Chanukah?
Cute. So this is a highly debated question, not so simple. I'd like to share one answer that I found from Yaakov Emden, the Sefer Mor Ksiya. So he says a very interesting idea. And I'm going to say the idea. I assume some people here might jump with a good kasha, and I'll explain that kasha too. Sure, Ellen. But the answer that Rabbi Yaakov Emden gives is we don't make brachas on minhagim. That's a general rule. We don't. And that's why the Mechaber says, you'll make a bracha for Hallel. We Ashkenazim do. And therefore, this whole question is moot, as the Chavetz Chaim said. But we're asking according to the Mechaber. So how come the Mechaber writes over here by Chanukah, we make a bracha on the Shul lighting menorah, if it's only a minhag? So he answers that what makes lighting a candle on Chanukah a Chanukah lighting? Because you put in your menorah. You don't have to have a menorah. If you have to be away, we know the Iker mitzvah is one candle each night. You don't have to do 8 candles. And it doesn't have to be a menorah. You can take one random candle, light it, and you did the mitzvah of Neiros Chanukah. But let me ask you a question. What distinguishes between lighting a candle, one candle, that's for Ner Chanukah, and it's not for a Yahrzeit, not for light, not for this, not for that. Zakter Yaakov Emden, I'll tell you what distinguishes. The making the bracha, Lahadak Ner Shel Chanukah, that bracha is part of the mitzvah itself. Normally we view things, I'm doing a mitzvah, and there's a bracha that comes with the mitzvah. It's an accessory. But here on Chanukah, the bracha is part and parcel of the mitzvah. Because if the bracha wasn't part and parcel of the mitzvah, what am I doing? Lighting a candle? What makes this a Chanukah candle? The bracha is what makes it a Chanukah candle. So that's why when we light the menorah, we make a bracha.
Shechianu.
So Shechianu too. That's fine. I thought you were going to ask me from...
That's a gigantic chiddush.
Yes. It's a beautiful chiddush from Yaakov Emden. But tell me where it doesn't, you might think it doesn't fit. Neir Shabbos. Would we say the same thing? Right? You light candles. I don't know why for Shabbos. Do you say also over there the bracha is part of the mitzvah? Well, maybe it is. But there's a simple chiluk you could say by Neir Chanukah versus Neir Shabbos.
Back into it.
Right?
If you lit the Shabbos candle,
yeah,
then even though you didn't say the bracha, you are still yotzei. But if you lit the Chanukah candles and didn't make the bracha, maybe you're not yotzei.
Okay. Interesting. Maybe according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it might come out like that. But the interesting idea is like this. There's two different reasons for lighting the menorah. Lighting the menorah on Chanukah versus lighting candles on Shabbos. The purpose of lighting the menorah on Chanukah is you're lighting candles to mark the nace that Hashem did with the Jews, saving them in terms of the Greeks, the nace of the menorah, all that inclusive. Can you use the menorah? No.
No.
Ein l'shtamish b'hem. El rosim b'vad. Contrast that to Shabbos. Shabbos, the candles you are lighting are for usage. There is nothing wrong with lighting a candle just like you would light if there's a blackout, just like you like anything else. That is the mitzvah, to use a candle for Shalom Bayis on Shabbos. So you don't have to mark it. It's only by Hanukkah where the nature of the candle is going to be different. There you're going to light it to mark the miracle. So then you have to designate it. How do you designate this candle that are marking it for the miracle? That's with the bracha. And therefore, despite the fact that it's only a minhag, Rabbi Yaakov Endin says you make a bracha on that. But now, once we understand this, there's quite a few practical halachos about lighting Hanukkah menorah, which follows. I'll start with outer cases and I'll come to closer ones. So we talked before about the Jewish malls, right? They put up a menorah in the American Dream. They put up a menorah in, I think it's called Brookshaven, Mosaic. Do they make a bracha there? When they light a menorah, what I see, there's a guy from this neighborhood who's the big Lego maven of the world, the Jewish Lego guy. They flew him into Eretz Yisrael to light. This year, they're going to have the biggest Lego menorah of all time. Guinness Book of World Records. He's in some Lego store in Tel Aviv. That guy, Yitzi. Yitzi's there. He's going to light it. Does he make a bracha in the Lego store?
He's
going
to do.
Huh?
He's
going to. Don't say that out loud.
Not him,
James. So send him a clip right here.
There's going to be a bracha said.
L'chara pasha pshat.
There's going to be a bracha made at the PKM too.
L'chara, please send this out. This is going to go viral. L'chara, it's very clear, and I'll show you in a moment. It's on the sheets, Beferish. Right? Pasha pshat, one should not be making a bracha on any of these lines. Why? We understand why. The whole idea of lighting a Hanukkah menorah outside your home in a shul is a minhag. Being it's a minhag, we just said, the rabbanim through the ages are struggling, so why do you make a bracha? But that doesn't, the answer they say, fine, it's a chiddush, and it's not so simple to say that. So you have no right to extrapolate and just use this, I'm going to light over here, I'm going to light over there, I'm going to light over there, let's make brachas everywhere. Can't do that. Azoizak the Minchas Yitzchak. I have it in the bottom of your sheets. But there's no minhag just to light wherever people gather at sporting events, at malls. That way, Gamal at Lachim Basic Knesses, Chatulim Sometam. Lighting in Shul, the Rabbanim first try to understand why we light. And secondly, after we understand why we light, with the Bracha. Vein Lachabal Chidusha. And you have to limit that chiddush, this idea, which we just took a few minutes to come, a little bit of explanation. So that's what Minchas Yitzchak says. But, so there's a big shout. It's questionable, should he even put a menorah in these places? And then he writes, Al-Kabarim ha-mandat makam kibetz rabu lo yivarech, v'chein huva Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. So it's questionable to extend the minhag to light outside of a shul. And it's doubly questionable, absolutely, post-Kamar saying absolutely not, one should not be making a bracha in these situations. So, Alan, if they call me to light the town menorah here, right, town of North Miami Beach, you should know, get somebody else.
They have somebody already, Rabbi.
One of the viewers, a rabbi did it, and he made
some habad.
Oh, you said it like that. Alan, now you understand.
They don't know.
Right.
They don't know, so he could have said Ashrei.
Right. Oh.
Someone was.
Alan is holding from last week's share. He hasn't missed. Right? For those who missed last week's share, you have to go watch it. But Alan just said a beautiful chab. Beautiful chab. Right? We had a whole story last week from Rabbi Yashov of like a challenge of like what to do. So he told him the story in Europe of how they were trying to test, I'm saying the story as quick as possible, test two people to be a rav of this town. So one, the guy, the Paritz, opened up a sitter and told him to read. So the first rav read what he was open to, was Ashrei. The second rav, when he opened the sitter, his mazel, it was Yotros. The guy read it ever so carefully, and they gave the job to the first rav. So Chaim Ozer said to the second rav, he deserved not getting the job, because he sort of also thought to read Ashrei. So Alan just said, if you're called up to light the menorah in front of the city of North Miami Beach, you could say Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. No one's going to stop you. Excellent. Yes.
You could start with Hanero Salal, Hashem's name.
Okay. Yeah. But they want to see the benediction. You know. Yeah, that's the thing. So again, so it comes out from here, especially we have the whole setup. It's not so simple to light a menorah outside of a shul, and it's doubly very not possible to be making a bracha. That's what the poskim bring down here. And I'll go even closer. You know, it's common in many communities, us too, where they'll have minyanim in houses, for sure, let's say, on a Friday night. Now, if it's in a house itself, there's not much of a hakras mustamal. A person in the house, ready to let a menorah. But what about, let's say you have a house minyan in an unoccupied house. That's where they meet. They'll meet in some place, and they'll make a minyan there. Do you light a menorah in that house?
Or in that yard.
Oh, you're still doing COVID minyan. Oh, gosh.
Or better, right? Example, you have a shiva minyan.
Right.
You're lighting in the shiva, at the regular shiva.
That's easier, because again.
And then afterwards, you go out and you have dinner with your family.
Right. So if it's a house where people are living, including a shiva house, so then the people in the house are going to do the mitzvah. That's easier. But if you have a case of where there is a communal minyan, but it's not a shul, they just have a Friday night minyan. So it's quite questionable there if one lights it. I see.
There's a question of whether anybody other than the Baal Bayis could light it.
Yeah, that's true.
Baal
too.
Baal Bayis could light for sure.
That's true too. So in the Sefer here from Shmuel Felder, he's a Rav in Lakewood. Here's a tzad maybe to do such a thing. What's interesting, which is also once Alan brought up last week's share, on the bottom of the footnotes, I found in the Sefer they bring a stira between two different svarim quoting Rav Yashuv. Unfortunately, what else is new? We talked about last week. Unfortunately, Rav Yashuv's quotes or misquotes, you find lots of contradictions and you have to research these things well. But I saw Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Baruch Hashem, he had the source of meeting last night, some of the Talmidim in the Yeshiva. Rav Shmuel Paskins, it's limited dafka to a shul. Only in a shul you would light with a bracha, but one would not light in a house minyan. Now, just quickly touch on a few different halachas. Again, the person lighting the menorah would recite the first night all three brachas, the second night next two. The menorah is usually situated on the southern wall. Now, the actual language of the Mechaber is on the wall. The Chafetz Chaim in Mishnah Berurah says, "Oh, al shulchan sha'omei eitzel kol sadarm," or on the table. I remember, Mill, you've seen this, where Rabbi Walter Shul in Queens, they actually have it on the wall. Mm-hmm. Now, on the wall itself, they made a shelf, and that's where they put the menorah. So I didn't ask him, did they do that to Mekayim, the classic words of the Mechaber? Or is that just didn't have any space, no place to put a table, and the smartest place is higher up on the wall, okay? But it makes the whole thing, of course, I have to get up on a step stall to go up and light it. But, okay, there, you know, that is a nice thing, a minute to see the menorah and their grotta in yeshiva this year. I think no one's even thought about it, no clue what we're going to light as we're currently in Gullus, outside of our base medrash, and there is no room in the base medrash to put up a table and light a menorah. So, okay, I assume that will fall on me a little bit later to figure out where to put it. But First, I have to find the menorah. Now, one last interesting shiloh the Chavetz Chaim himself brings is the ideal time to light. I'll do this, also very important. It comes up a lot. Nowadays, it's very popular in the big cities. They have what you call minion factories. And they can have, you light the menorah commonly with the bracha, let's say before Ma'ariv, right? Actually, the reason they say not to light after Ma'ariv is people are running out. They're running out to go home to light the menorahs. But shuls have multiple minyanim. Do you light it at each minyan? Also, again, not pashat. Pashat says you light the first minyan, and there you make a bracha. It would be great if you put enough oil, it could burn through multiple minyanim.
But if it doesn't, then you relight.
But if you don't, you relight potentially.
So if you go to the...
With a bracha, I would think not. Though that was really the steel in Rabbi Yosha. There is one side he brings to himself.
So if you go to the earliest mincha at a minyan factory, there's no question of lighting.
Oh. Yeah.
And the only lighting you're talking about is maybe just not without brachos daytime anyway.
It's also interesting, there's a discussion, do you light, let's say, you know, you're lighting it before Ma'ariv, and it's getting late, especially on a Friday, and there isn't 10 people there yet. And you know, okay, 10 people are going to come, but the moment they come, we have to start right away because it's late. So can you light the menorah before there yet are 10 people there? So the Chavetz Chaim brings down this dispute, it's not so simple. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, as we quoted before, he says, no, the Iker thing is presuming Nisa, and you need the 10 people to be there before for you to light the menorah. Important for a Gabbai to know.
Can you count the woman for that 10?
No. But, I'm not sure. It says Makilos. Good question. I'm not
but
sure.
Presuming Nisa in your house is...
you could ask your local person. Rabbi. But...
Yes. Presuming Nisa inside your home is one other person, though.
Oh, so that...
Josh,
take an extra laka. So the Chavetz Chaim says, you don't need, now Josh, I'll first distinguish. This lighting in a shul is gonna be different than your home lighting because of the fact it's a communal lighting. And there is an ideal to have the community, to have 10 people there. But similar, just like in your house, the Chavetz Chaim says the Iker mitzvah, the Iker pursuing Nisa is done just by your lighting. And people seeing it later, okay, that adds to it. But already just the lighting itself, for you, just you, already is a certain element of pursuing Nisa, and the Chavetz Chaim holds that you could light without your tents. You need to count other people. Right? The Chavetz Chaim does possible halacha, you could do that.
You're lighting before the Zman.
Yes, very good point. Depending on when the Ma'ariv is, you're right, you would end up lighting before this month.
Minyan factory today.
Yes.
1 o'clock, I'm in the 2 o'clock, 2:30.
No. Talking later. A mincha ma'ariv.
So the second day, like one candle or 2 days. Tomorrow, the mincha.
Oh, no.
Light one or two.
You always light the night that night, and even if you miss the night before, it's not fair. No.
It's not.
But hold on. Let me just. So I think what we got from Cher today is hopefully a new appreciation of what exactly this mitzvah is, or be careful how I say it. This minhag is to light a shul menorah. It's not like the regular neri shubeso. It's a totally different idea. It's a minhag. There's a whole question about the bracha. And once we understand that, then we know it's not so simple just to light menorahs here, there, and everywhere. And it's definitely not simple to be making brachos. So you get the word out to the so-called FTX arena. But, right? We should give Sharon that one of these days.
They changed it to FTX list.
FTX.
They call it SB, what's his name? SBF arena. But...
Rabbi, it'd be, you know, I have to know whether you can light a menorah or a joint.
That's one year that should have been enlightened, right? Rabosa, I'll end with this. We really started with talking about Pursume Nisa. Pursume Nisa is not really to the Goyim. The Iker Pursume Nisa is to the Jews. And as we talked before about, it's unfortunate the state of Judaism in the world, with assimilation, rising. And I'll tell you one thing, Mr. SBF, did not go to yeshiva, did not learn basic hilchos of MS, Sheker, Chesed. Chesed does not mean just giving money to the Democratic Party, but Lemaisa. Lemaisa.
Jews think so.
Right? They didn't go to yeshiva. So Lemaisa, the Yontif of Hanukkah is a Yontif of Pursuming Nisa, and we sit there by the Neiros, we should hope that the little bit of light that we have, Docha Harbin Minachosha, and Bezaz Hashem, if that light gets out to more and more Jews, as real true Pursuming Nisa, we should merit to see the day of the coming Mashiach Tzikeinu B'mehra B'yameinu. Amen. Thank you everyone for coming. Next week is a Hanukkah break, but tune in the week after. We already have a couple topics that people have been asking for. Thank you very much.
Are we going back to the month?
Something happened in between? Did we have a week in between? It's like Sunday to Sunday.
It's funny, I put up a story. I have to buy some frisky. He puts a maneuver.
You can't take
on. I heard you say that.
Okay, I'll take a look.